Good morning. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock. John Munson sitting in for Joy Cardine this week on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In this hour, the question, should there be politics in kids' books? And the genesis for this discussion, a book published last year titled Why Mommy is a Democrat, and the forthcoming book, Why Daddy is a Democrat. Our guest this hour is Jeremy Zilber, author of the children's books in question. And you can join our discussion. What do you think about the politicization of children's literature? Or maybe it's not just starting, maybe it's always been there. Who knows? What secret messages were buried in Dick and Jane and Dr. Seuss and all those other things? I don't know. Anyway, here are the numbers to call to join our discussion this morning. 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number anywhere you can hear this broadcast. If you're in Madison, please call us at 263-1890, 263-1890. We welcome by telephone Jeremy Zilber. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's go back and let's make sure we don't miss anything obvious, because that would be silly of me to do that. Why did you write the first book?
Well, it was actually just sort of a more or less on a whim. Some people I knew had suggested I might consider writing children's books, and it was nothing that I had ever really taken very seriously. I was teaching political science at the time, and the third or fourth person who said this to me, I said, you know, sort of almost angrily, well, what would I write children's books about? And she said, well, write what you know, politics. And as soon as she suggested that, this light bulb sort of went off in my head, where I thought back to some research that I'd read when I was in graduate school about children and politics, and I recalled a study that indicated that a very high percentage of children are partisan. They, if you ask them, are you a Democrat or Republican, they will insist that they are, in fact, a Democrat or a Republican. And some of them are quite adamant about it. I'm talking about 5 years old, 6 years old. But, of course, if you ask them, what does that mean? Why are you a Democrat or Republican? Almost none of them have any idea. And so I sort of thought at this moment when this light bulb went off, hey, there's a good idea for a children's book there. If kids are going to be, you know, calling themselves Democrats, how about giving them some idea of what that actually means so that they can, you know, make some sense of what they're talking about and hopefully pay more attention to politics and learn more about it as they get older.
Well, I have to say, I was a child of the 50s, which dates me a little bit, and I remember going through the 1960 presidential election. And in our household, my father was a Nixon supporter, and my mother was supporting Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, I heard a lot of political discussion going on in the House. In fact, it was quite heated. What I'm told, and I don't remember this so much, I'm told that I used to say, Daddy and me are Republicans and Mommy is something else. Later on, that kind of changed. But, you know, I didn't know what it was. I just, you know, well, identified with my father because I was the male child, and that was that, I guess. But how much do children really understand about what's going on in the political world? They hear this stuff all the time. They're in the room when the newscasts are playing on television, and hopefully they hear their parents discussing the issues of the day. How much of this do you think they can take in?
Well, I think it really does depend on the child, and it depends on the household. I think you know, people would be surprised at how much you know, a 5 or 6 or 7 year old who's living in a very politically active household might understand. I mean, a lot of them have a pretty sophisticated sense of what politics is all about, and what these things mean. I mean, it's hard to know. You know, I think most of them, you know, certainly don't understand all the nuances of politics and partisanship and all of that. But I think a lot of them do actually, especially in houses where the parents are activists, I think a lot of them do have a at least a basic sense of what's going on. I sort of remember the same thing from about the time that I was six, and I remember a lot of political discussion in the household, and nobody ever, I think, talked to me directly about it, but I was certainly picking up on a lot of it, and I was starting to get a sense of what the parties stood for and what was going on in politics at that time.
We're talking about children's literature and whether or not political messages are appropriate for it and how those can be delivered. Our guest is Jeremy Zilber, who's the author of the children's book, Why Mommy is a Democrat, and who has a new book coming out called Why Daddy is a Democrat. And we would welcome your participation in the discussion this morning. Here's how you can join us. You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number. Anywhere you can hear this broadcast, 800-642-1234. In Madison, call us at 263-1890, 263-1890. If you'd like to send us an email, the address is talk@wpr.org. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 17 minutes past 6 o'clock. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine this week. This hour, Why Mommy is a Democrat and Why Daddy is a Democrat, a pair of children's books, is the basis for our discussion with author Jeremy Zilber. And we're talking about children's literature and whether or not you can politicize it successfully, whether you can teach children about the values of various political parties. And you're certainly welcome to join us at 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number. In Madison, please use 263-1890. Well, it's one thing that struck me, Mr. Zilber, as I was reading in preparation for this, I wanted to ask you why the first book was Why Mommy is a Democrat. Why not Why Mommy and Daddy are Democrats?
Well, that was actually a marketing decision more than anything else. I really, you know, there's no other book like this on the market, and I really wasn't sure what kind of demand there would be for a partisan children's book. And so I wanted to start out with kind of the widest possible audience, and since women are more likely to be Democrats than men, and since children who live with just one parent are more likely to live with their mommy than their daddy, I thought if I just limit it to mommies, I'm going to have the largest possible audience, and we'll see how it does with that audience. And it did very well. And so that's what's sort of inspired me to go on and write more books. And the next one will be Why Daddy is a Democrat. And then who knows what relatives we'll start talking about after that.
In the next book, Why Daddy is a Democrat, how will that be different from Why Mommy is a Democrat?
Well, I am going to, you know, obviously I think the reasons that mommies and daddies are Democrats tend to be pretty much the same reasons, but I don't want to write the same book. So I'm trying to write a book that still sort of gets at the core values of the Democratic Party without being just redundant, without, you know, just duplicating what the first book says. So in the second book, I'm sort of exploring some political issues a little bit more specifically. The first book really was very kind of vague generalities about democratic values. Democrats share, and they're tolerant, and they're peaceful, and so forth. And the second book, I'm going to take those same themes, but kind of zero in on some policy areas that where these themes sort of emerge. It's going to be done in a very child-friendly way, very simplistic, and I'm not going to use any technical language or anything, but it's going to talk a little bit about global warming and social security and labor, fair treatment of workers, and the environment and education and supporting police and fire departments, things of this nature, but again, in a very child-friendly way. I'm not going to talk about global warming per se, but that's, you know, the issue will be sort of lurking there in the background, and adults will realize what I'm talking about.
Well, let's go to the phones and welcome our first caller this morning. It's Rich from Histosford. Go ahead. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just had a couple of questions. And first question is, now you're a political scientist, and as bipartisan as political scientists should be, are you planning on a why daddy's a Republican and why mommy's a Republican, and then why Democrats and Republicans should work together to make our world a better place? Are those books in the works?
Well, not by me, but I've certainly had a number of people tell me that they're going to write a book about why daddy is a Republican or mommy is a Republican. I've had independents tell me they're going to write a book about, you know, why mommy and daddy hate political parties. And I'd be perfectly happy to see people write those books. I can't write those books because, you know, they're not me. I can't really tell you why mommy is a Republican because I'm not sure.
I'm just a little confused. Aren't political scientists supposed to be bipartisan so that they teach both sides of the aisle?
Well, first of all, I'm not actively teaching political science right now. Secondly, I think the premise of your question isn't quite right. Most political scientists are partisan. Often, you know, they're very interested in politics and they go into partisan politics, and through that, they wind up wanting to study politics. But most political scientists are able to kind of distinguish their own preferences from the study of politics. And I think, you know, if you look at any kind of scientific endeavor, the researcher has usually some interests, some goals, some preferences, but their job as a researcher is to separate their own preferences from what they're studying. And I think most political scientists can do that very well. I can say that I hope the Democrats win the next election, but I don't think they will. Now that's not actually true. I think the Democrats will win the next election. But there have been certainly elections when I would read it that way and say, I hope the Democrats can pull this out, but I don't see how they can because their message isn't as strong this year as the Republicans. And I'm able to see that objectively, at least I think that I am. And I think most political scientists are the same way. And, you know, I've had colleagues who were staunch conservatives, and it never made me doubt the value of the political science they were doing. I just knew that they had different preferences than I did.
Now, in the books, does it show that the, you know, as good people of the world, that they should work with both parties, or they should be friends with the other side, or, you know, is there, you know, something in there to teach the children that people should work together in life?
Well, the overall theme of the book is working together and being nice to people. And there's actually a page that specifically talks about being nice to people who are different. There's no mention of Republicans anywhere in the book. They are referred to sort of indirectly in some background illustrations for parents to appreciate. There's some political satire going on in the background. But as far as the kids are concerned and the text of the book, it's all about Democrats, and it's about Democrats being tolerant and peaceful and nice. And I think clearly the message is we should be nice to everyone. It doesn't say, you know, just be nice to Democrats.
Is the is there a message here that that isn't said, that, okay, Democrats are peaceful and nice and tolerant, therefore if you're not a Democrat, you're not any of those things?
Well, that's a way that a lot of my critics see the book, but I think that's it's a sort of cynical adult way of thinking about it. We think about politics in terms of Democrats versus Republicans, and so if you're saying something nice about a Democrat, you're sort of implying something the opposite about Republicans. But for a child who doesn't really even understand what a Democrat is, that's not the way they're going to interpret it. They don't interpret a positive statement about a Democrat as an attack on a Republican. You know, it's like saying, if I wrote a book talking about what a great country America is, would children take that as an attack on Canada or Mexico? And I don't think they would. Or if I, you know, wrote a book about chocolate being my, you know, my favorite flavor, I don't think they'd see that as an attack on vanilla lovers. I just don't think that's the way children view the world, and I don't think that's the way they view politics. I think that's how they eventually come to view politics in many cases. And I should add that, you know, one of my goals in writing these books is to sort of change the tone of politics, in a sense, that I'd like for people to like the Democratic Party for reasons other than they dislike the Republican Party. And I'm trying to give kids a sense of why their parents do like the Democratic Party, not why they dislike Republicans, but why they like the Democratic Party. And, you know, if kids later turn out to, you know, hate the Republican Party, that's, I don't think, the result of this book. I think that may be the result of something they observe in politics, or the way the mainstream media portray politics as Democrats versus Republicans, but that's not the message of the book.
And about the same time as your first book came out, there was also a book that came out kind of from the other point of view, which was something like "Help! There's a liberal under my bed" or something like that, mm-hmm. Which was a little more direct in its message, I think, than your book was. This seems to be something then of it would seem that this is kind of a trend, but the truth is that children's literature has often been a place where we try to impart some sort of value system or teach an object lesson to children about what goes on in life. Isn't that true?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of children's books have political content. Some of them, or very few of them, are explicit about it, but a lot of them, it might even be fair to say most of them, have underlying social and political messages. And, you know, books where the author may not have even intended it still may have social or political messages. And one of my favorite examples is, you know, The Little Engine That Could, a sort of classic children's story that we all hear. I think we all hear it. I certainly heard it, and I read it, and I don't know, I don't even think the author is known. I think it's an unidentified author. So I don't know what the author had in mind, but there's certainly a political message in that, you know, nice little story about I think I can, and the little engine is able to move the giant load over the mountain. Well, you know, what's the message there? The message is, upward mobility and you know, the power of positive thinking can overcome all odds. There's sort of a message of individuality there. You know, the nobody talked about, you know, maybe the little engine should work with the big engines to move the load. It was each one, you know, giving it their best shot, and the little engine, because it worked hard and it had positive thinking, was able to move the load over the mountain. I think if you look at just about any children's story, you can identify some pretty strong political values in there. Whether they were intended or not, whether they're explicit or not, they're quite often there.
Well, I was thinking of Grimm's fairy tales as well. If you read those in the context of the time in which they were written, there's a pretty clear message in many of them that children are supposed to take away. We're just about at news time. I want to give the phone numbers again and let people have a chance to think about what they would like to ask our guest as we listen to the news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Here are the numbers to call: 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. In Madison, please use our local number, 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm John Munson. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Good morning. It's 6:35. John Munson sitting in for Joy Cardine this week on the Ideas Network. This hour we're talking with Jeremy Zilber, who has written one book and has another one on the way. The first book was called Why Mommy is a Democrat, and the book that's coming out soon is Why Daddy is a Democrat, and he joins us by telephone this morning. Well, just before the break, we were talking about children's literature in general and how there are so oftentimes object lessons buried in it. I mean, you can go back to Aesop's Fables. The whole idea was to have a message delivered in a way that children could absorb. So this is really not, what you're doing is really not anything new. It's just a different take on that that same technique that's been used for centuries.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of children's literature is intended, I would say the vast majority of it is intended in some way to socialize children into society. And this one just happens to be about the Democratic Party, and I think people find that very new and unusual, but it's really not. It's unusual to talk about the Democratic Party, but not to use children's literature to kind of prepare children to be young adults.
I want to give the phone numbers because we do have open phone lines right now. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234 is the toll-free number you can use from anywhere. 263-1890 is the number you should call if you're dialing in from Madison, 263-1890. You can also send us an email to talk@WPR.org. Of course, another classic example of that kind of children's literature, The Fox and the Grapes. That one. And then I was also thinking of the Br'er Rabbit and, you know, I mean, the list could go on and on. We could spend the whole hour just talking about politically oriented children's books we've read.
Sure.
And many authors use allegory and so forth to make their point. Most authors have a point to make. Otherwise, why write a book? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's absolutely true.
I'm told that upon seeing your book, Rush Limbaugh said, "Who wrote this thing?" Did that make you happy when you heard that reaction?
I was ecstatic when Rush Limbaugh, he spent about 10 minutes on his show talking about my book and basically went to my website and just read through it. I should mention my website, it's littledemocrats.net. And Rush just sort of read through all the quotes on it, and read the description of the book, and clearly was not happy about what he was seeing, but it was great publicity for me.
Let's go back to the phones, and we'll take a call this time from Mark in Superior. Good morning, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the program. I was just curious. Of course, there's a lot of similarities why men and both men and women are maybe Democrats or Republicans, but, I mean, are there different reasons why mommy is a Democrat than why daddy is a Democrat, and do you address things like that? I'm just curious as to some of the different reasons that people of different sexes are in favor of one party or another.
Well, I sort of addressed this earlier. In the books, I don't really distinguish between mommies and daddies. I think they both have very similar reasons. The second book is going to be somewhat more policy-oriented, more concrete than the first book, which was really about values. As a political scientist, I can say there are differences. I don't like to generalize too much, but women do tend to be a little bit more interested in kind of social issues and, you know, things like health care and education and child care, and men do tend to be a little bit more interested in the economy and international affairs. So they do have, there are tendencies for men and women to have somewhat different reasons, but I didn't focus on any of that in the book. I think by and large, Democrats are Democrats for the same reasons, whether they're male or female, and I think the books I'm writing are meant to reflect that.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Let's go next to Charles in Superior. Charles, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, good morning. I haven't read these books yet, nor frankly have I heard of them until just now, but I'm concerned because I've made the decision in 2000 and 2004 that I'm never going to vote Democrat again. And the main reason is that the values and the platforms that the Democrats issue as being their position on things really aren't. Take a look at the war in Iraq, for example, or this fiasco over the weekend now where the administration refuses to cough up information about the secret surveillance inside the United States of phone calls and emails. But even so, the Democrats all voted to give 6 months to Dubya on this, and then they'll extend it again after that. It's just a waste of time to vote for the Democrats because they are pathetic. How does this book deal with that?
Well, I would. There's a lot going on in that question. Obviously, the party leaders will not always live up to every value that we might want them to. But I would say, first of all, this book isn't about you know, this isn't called Why Mommy is a Democrat in Congress. It's a book called Why Mommy is a Democrat, and it's about the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party is comprised of millions and millions and millions of people. It isn't just the, you know, the few hundred that we hear about on a daily basis. And I would add that, you know, one of my interests in writing the book is to get adult Democrats to kind of refocus on the values that matter. There are times, certainly, when I'm frustrated with what the party leaders end up doing when they get elected or when they're actually in positions of power. And one of my goals in writing the book is to gently remind those in power what the party stands for. And I also think that, you know, if we talk to our kids about the values of the Democratic Party, they will they'll accept that. They will identify with the party because of these values. And I do think these are the core values of the party, even though you can find instances where the party leaders act in a way where, you know, they appear to have temporarily forgotten what the party is about. But, you know, that's going to be true for any party, no matter who it is. If you're a large party that's comprised of millions and millions of people, you're going to have different views, and although there may be some core values, there are going to be times when you don't all act in a way that is consistent with either those values or the way that, you know, the majority would want you to act. And I think that's just a reality, and some people, you know, are sort of unwilling to accept any kind of compromise or accept the fact that leaders are put in very, you know, difficult positions of, on the one hand, trying to be true to their values, and on the other hand, trying to get reelected. And sometimes those two things are inconsistent.
Well, not only trying to get reelected, but it seems to me that it's pretty difficult to operate a government based on an ideology. You almost you always run into the fact that in order to get things done, you have to be a pragmatist. You have to go with what works, not just things don't happen just because you believe a certain way. You believe in a certain value or something like that. That doesn't automatically translate into being able to make government policy.
That's right. I'm worried about slipping back into political science lecture mode. But if you look at the Constitution, it is designed, it's really a brilliant design, to make sure that no single ideology is able to dominate the federal government. You know, the whole idea of checks and balances and having people in the government being selected by different groups of people at different times, you know, the whole idea was to sort of have the government force to compromise with itself in order to get anything done. And you know, you can go there with very pure values, but if you have this president who has completely different values, and you have a Supreme Court that you have to worry about, and you have all these other competing interests, in order to get something done, you often do have to compromise and give in on some of your values. And I think it's very easy for people to sit home and you know, talk about what they would do if they were elected and how they would never give in on anything that they believe in. But once you actually get there and you see how the system works and you realize how many different competing demands there are, and you want to get reelected, and you realize that sometimes your voters don't have the same values you do, and you, if you want to keep your job, you have to appeal to them. And you start putting these things together, and it can be very difficult to be true to your values all the time. And I think people do need to recognize that fact.
We're at Weather Time. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more of our conversation. And we do have some lines available now for you to call in, and here are the numbers, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number, good anywhere you can hear this broadcast. In Madison, give us a call at 263-1890, 263-1890. And you can also reach us on the Internet. Send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Almost 6:48, you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Later on this morning, Jim Packard is in for Kathleen Dunn. The Kauffman Foundation estimates that each month nearly 450,000 people start their own business. After 10, Jim Packard and his guest discuss citizen entrepreneurs and small business enterprises. Children's literature is what's on our minds for the remainder of this hour. Let me give the phone numbers one more time because we have a couple of lines open yet. 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number. 263-1890 is the number you should use in Madison. My guest this hour is Jeremy Zilber, the author of the children's book Why Mommy is a Democrat and the forthcoming book Why Daddy is a Democrat. And he's joining us by phone, and so is Kathleen from Townsend. Kathleen, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Thank you for having my call. Jeremy, I am curious as to who published your book.
The book is actually self-published.
Good for you. I have to tell you, I have a small publishing company in Townsend, and I'm on my fifth one. Quite an adventure, isn't it?
It really is, and I really had no idea what I was doing when I set out to do this and found out quickly how difficult it is to publish a book and market it.
Right. I know. I've learned a lot, too. My sister has a copy, and I haven't read it yet, but I'm really looking forward to it. I sort of want to put a bug in your ear to write Why Grandma is a Democrat, because I think so many young couples today, even within my own family, are what they call apolitical. Mm-hmm. They don't want their children exposed to things on television or radio, and just seem to turn away from the whole process completely. And I think having grown up in a household where there was a lot of political discussion at the dinner table, I think that really was a big plus in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. First of all, I should say I've had a lot of people ask for a book for grandparents.
Really?
Actually, I've actually had more people ask for that book than for a daddy book. So I really am thinking that my third book might focus on grandmas, grandpas, or both. So it's on the way, I think. And the second part of your comment, I absolutely agree. You know, I think a lot of parents think they're doing their children a favor by shielding them from politics until they're much, much older. And it doesn't make any sense to me at all. And we don't approach other topics that way. You know, we talk to children about adult topics all the time. We talk to them about getting jobs and getting married and talk to them about, you know, death and dying and disease and difficult academic topics, math and science and geography and culture and, you know, literature. And we do this, you know, to get them interested in the topics and to provide a foundation for further learning. And for some reason, we think politics should be different, and we should wait until they're 18 or something to ever mention that there are these things called political parties. And, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that most 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds these days are quite apathetic, and many of them know very little about politics. And, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that that happens to be a topic that a lot of parents will not talk to their kids about.
Thanks for the call, Kathleen. Let's go next to Lenny in Madison. Lenny, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. You're doing a good job, Dave. Anyways, I wanted to talk to, I had an observation about the Democrats. And the first observation is campaign finance reform, nationally, of course. McCain-Feingold was weakened when it was passed in its present form, and the conflict that's going on within the Democratic Party or ranks between the DLC and the DNC. And how that plays out in what the Democrats do and how that affects policy formulation on the national level in the Democratic Party.
Well, I think you're getting into some topics that we don't really have time for, and I think those are great questions, but they're a little bit more suited to when I'm on as a political analyst rather than a children's book author, because I certainly am not getting into campaign finance reform in the children's book.
Well, pulling this kind of back into the discussion, your books don't deal with political topics at that level of detail. You're dealing with general themes, correct?
That's right. I mean, I'm writing a book that these books are really targeted to very young children, maybe as young as age 4, and certainly 5, 6, 7, 8. And you know, you can talk about some themes that relate to issues like campaign finance reform, but the concept of campaign finance reform is almost impossible to talk about to a child. And I should point out, that sort of illustrates the point that I was trying to make in answering the last question, that if you ever want a child to grow up to understand an issue as complex as campaign finance reform or the relationship between the DLC and the rest of the Democratic Party, you need to get them started early talking about what is the Democratic Party, what does it try to do, what are political parties at all. If you don't get them interested in those topics, you can forget about it, in terms of having them understand an issue as complex as why did the Democrats support a particular campaign finance reform plan instead of another. They're never going to get that if we don't introduce them to the basics when they're young.
800-642-1234. 800-642-1234 is the toll-free number to call to join our discussion. If you're in Madison, please use our local number, 263-1890, 263-1890. We are also available on the Internet. You can send us an email. The address, talk@wpr.org. Well, why write a book specifically about Democrats? Why not just write a book about some positive values that you think are embodied by the Democratic Party? Isn't our society politically polarized enough?
Well, there may come a time when I will do some more general books that aren't just about the Democratic Party. But the fact is, I have an interest. I have political interests, and one of them is seeing the Democratic Party do well, and I think that's good for society. Not everybody will agree with me there, but I think it's very good for society when the Democrats do well, and it's an issue that's important to me, and I wanted to do what I can to help adults who support the Democratic Party to communicate that to their kids. And, I get that question a lot, why didn't you do a book on A, B, C, or D? And my answer is kind of, well, I can only do one book at a time, and, let's see what I come up with later. But for now, I wanted to do a book about the Democratic Party, and I'm not opposed to people doing books about values or politics that aren't about the Democratic Party and don't support the Democratic Party. I encourage it. But this is, this is the book I started with.
I alluded earlier to the current political climate in this country, and I'll ask you a political scientist question. Do you think that there's been a time when we've had more polarization and more stark differences between the two main political parties?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people like to speak in sort of hyperbole and say, the parties have never been more polarized, and we've never had more anger in Washington, and certainly if you compare this era to 20 or 30 years ago, that appears to be true. There is more partisanship and more polarization and more kind of anger in politics. But if you compare this to the New Deal era, or even the 1960s, or the period leading up to the Civil War, you're going to find a lot more polarization. A lot of it was very partisan, and obviously a lot of it was much more heated than what we have now. I mean, we've had instances where people were nearly killed in Congress because of their political views. And today, if one politician says a nasty thing to another politician, that's front page news. But there have been many physical confrontations in the halls of Congress and in state legislatures years ago, and we don't see anything like that today, really.
We're coming to the end of the program, and I want to kind of wrap things up here. Do you have any idea when your next book is coming out?
I'm shooting for November, so plus or minus a few weeks, I think.
When your books are self-published, is they are available in a printed form, or can they only be purchased on? Can they only be obtained by going to a website?
They are basically obtainable through my website, littledemocrats.net. They're also available on Amazon, though I'm the one selling them right now. They are in a few bookstores here and there, but your best bet if you want to get it is to go through my website. If you want to get it in a bookstore, you can almost, you know, all of them will special order it. I'm happy to fill those orders, and I do it very quickly. But my website is really the best place to get them right now.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. It was an interesting hour.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jeremy Zilber, author of the children's book Why Mommy is a Democrat and the forthcoming Why Daddy is a Democrat, available at littledemocrats.org. Was that it? I probably got that wrong. Shouldn't have said it. This hour was produced by Leo Duran and on-air production provided by Cheryl Gasser and Karen Prager. The program is available for download from the radio store at 800-747-7444. You can obtain a CD of Program 8-6A. I'm John Munson. This is the Ideas Network.